Another key to the Egyptian economy and to life itself in the country is the Nile River. Without the Nile, Egypt would be almost all barren desert. But right now, with Cairo in crisis, several upriver countries are closing in on a deal over who controls the Nile's waters. Here to fill us in is Stephen Solomon. He's the author of Water, The Epic Struggle for Wealth, Power, and Civilization. Now, this agreement is called the Comprehensive Framework Agreement, Stephen, but basically it applies to the nine countries, 10 if you include the soon-to-be South Sudan in Africa that depend on the Nile. What's in this treaty?
Well, for the first time, the countries upriver are trying to claim a significant share of the water of the Nile River for their own development, including Ethiopia, which supplies 85% of the water that arrives at Aswan, but up till this current time has taken almost nothing out of the river. So Egypt has lived upon the Nile and has for 5,000 years, and now they are really being asked to give back some of that water rights. They don't want to do that, and they have not signed on to the treaty as a result.
And just to be clear, when we say upriver, we're actually talking about countries that are south of Egypt, Kenya, Ethiopia, all the way down to Burundi and Rwanda that depend on the Nile River basin.
That's correct. The river is in two parts. There is the Blue Nile, which originates in Ethiopia out of the highlands and supplies most of the water that arrives at Aswan. There is the White Nile, which is arrives from, as you mentioned, in the highlands of Central Africa, and that too then joins the river, but not a significant amount of it adds to the water at Aswan at the moment.
So Egypt has rejected this comprehensive framework agreement. Does Egypt have a legal right to say it has more of a claim to Nile water than any of the countries who have signed the agreement so far?
Well, this is, of course, what's being negotiated. They claim they do because they signed in 1959 a treaty with Sudan, in which they claimed the right to all the water. Egypt took three-quarters of it and allocated one-quarter to Sudan. Ethiopia and the others maintained that they were really legally not included in the negotiations, which they were not, and it goes back to the British colonial rule, whether legal interpretations are on one side or the other.
Apparently, only six countries need to sign this, and it could go through without Egypt signing it. Isn't that right?
Yeah, they're waiting for Burundi to sign on. But frankly, a treaty without Egypt and without Sudan, but especially without Egypt, is not much of a treaty at all, to be quite honest.
What needs to happen in order for Egypt to sign on to the agreement?
That's a good question. Look, when Anwar Sadat made peace with Israel in 1979, he immediately said the only thing that could take Egypt to war again are the waters of the Nile. I mean, the Nile is that important to Egypt.
Well, how could Egypt work around it if the treaty is in effect and it gets all the signatories?
Good question. They've done all they can in the past 30 years to use all their diplomacy, even threats of war, to prevent the development by the states upriver, and I don't think that they have a great case to make to be able to do that.
You know, if there's a new government in Cairo next fall, or if there's a revolutionary government before then, I can't imagine them taking this agreement lying down. Do you think Egypt is in a position right now to even be thinking about water and the Nile?
Well, they're always thinking about it, but they're obviously in no position to negotiate from any position of that's going to have a lot of credibility. And frankly, giving up any of their water rights in this environment by any government is fairly suicidal, because Egyptians have depended on the Nile for 5,000 years. It's ingrained into their historic right, as they call it. It's ingrained into their national psyche. I mean, it is that vital to them that they do need to have some guarantee that would seem pretty solid that they're going to have their water. And that is not I don't see how that is going to be possible in the near-term future.
Stephen Solomon, thanks very much indeed.
Thank you very much.
Stephen Solomon is author of Water, The Epic Struggle for Wealth, Power, and Civilization.